You're listening to The Residential Movement, where the focus is on making in-home dental care normal instead of novel or niche. I'm your host, Dr. Ashley Robinson, a house call dentist with a lot of passion for reaching patients who are best served in their home or residence. I'm here to encourage, equip, and empower dentists like you to begin offering in-home dental services for patients who cannot get to the office, while also enjoying a more balanced work life. We discuss everything from dentistry, business, ethics, mindset, and more. Listen in to learn how you can become a part of the Residential Movement. Welcome to this week's episode of the Residential Movement podcast. I'm excited for you to hear from my special guest, Dr. Ellie Halabian. She's a young doc who founded the Teeth Matter podcast, Turn Community, for dentists who are looking for support navigating this wonderful but challenging career path of dentistry. Her early career began in public health, and she's transitioned to gaining experience in a variety of settings in the New York City region. She's aiming to find that perfect work-life harmony, just like a lot of us house call dentists, so we share that goal. I hope you enjoy learning from her. I'm joined today by Dr. Ellie Halabian. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks, Ashley, for having me on.
Thank you for coming on to the Residential Movement podcast. I want my audience to know all about your community, the Teeth Matter community, and how you got started with it.
Yeah, so Teeth Matter is a podcast I started back in April, and I started it because I'd recently graduated in 2021. And after graduating, I went to residency, and I thought, oh, I went through all the hard. I'm going to get out of school and training, and work is going to be easy, or I'm going to have some kind of stability or consistency. And then I got into work, and I was working at an FQHC. And at that point, I was overwhelmed because I was, you know, focusing on my hand skills. I was focusing on how fast and efficient I was being, and also learning how to work with a team. So initially, it was a really good experience. But over time, I found it to be a little challenging because there was a lot of organizational challenges, let's say, but also in the terms of like the patients who were coming in, they weren't really appreciating the dental work. They were only coming in for emergencies. I wasn't seeing procedures from start to finish. And also I wasn't doing the dentistry I wanted to do because there was a lot of limitations when it came to the patient population. They couldn't afford the treatment and nor did insurance approve a lot of their care. So I found insurance to be a very limiting factor. And so I realized like, I'm not doing the dentistry I want to do. I'm not learning anymore. And how do I get myself to level up? I see all these people on Instagram doing all these smile transformations. Some of them are my classmates. Some of them are a little bit older than me. Like, how can I get myself there? And why am I not there? So I needed to vent and ask some questions. And so I started Teeth Matter as a way to connect with different dentists who are at different stages of their life or their careers and kind of use it as an opportunity to do Q&A. And from there, it just became a networking tool. And I've met some great people like yourself. And it's been really well received. So I'm really happy it brought us together.
Yeah, me too. I'm really glad because I know part of your platform is kind of people sharing, I don't want to say grievances, but kind of discussing like the misconceptions that we might have had when we entered the field versus what we found when we're in the field. And you and I have that in common where I also began my career in public health and noticed things like difficulties with insurance as red tape and the challenging lives of our patients in those scenarios. So it's funny because you're right. You're in school and you think that your career is going to go a certain way or you have these expectations and then you notice how they may not be met or maybe your career goes in a different direction or something like that. So just wondering, that's awesome that that's your start because it's very similar to mine. And it's amazing when you begin your career and it isn't exactly what you want or expect, it gives you the chance to modify it and do alternative type of things with your career, like many of my audience members and myself.
Right, absolutely. And I think we should take that opportunity to recognize, like you just said, a really important word, modify. Like a lot of people get stuck in a situation and they feel like, oh, this is happening to me. Like, why am I here? Why am I not moving forward? And they start getting down on themselves and they start to lose confidence. But you should realize that, you know, that you're going to be evolving throughout life and you just graduated school. And I know a lot of our audiences are new grads. So you have an opportunity to make a shift, right? And it's just about taking the time to like recognize what it is that you want and getting yourself out of that environment.
Yeah. So my audience members, a lot of them are dentists who used to have a very traditional dental career or do currently have a dental career that's very traditional. And they're transitioning into house call dentistry, which is a different field, or they're interested in house call dentistry. But to my listeners who are intrigued by house call dentistry and maybe aren't sold on it, which, you know, I always want to encourage more people to join this field, what are alternative tips you could give to any dentist? You know, if we're talking to a young dentist today who's listening in and they're like, yeah, I'm not, you know, thrilled with my current career position, but I don't know if house call dentistry is for me. What would you advise them to do right now?
I mean, I don't think you'll know until you experience it, right? So I would maybe cut back a few hours in your current job, whether you're you know, an associate in an office and maybe take on some hours doing house call dentistry so you can see if you actually like it. If you don't want to take that risk and make that transition, well, then maybe take the opportunity to shadow someone like yourself who is doing that and get an idea of what it entails, what the commitment's like, what kind of dentistry you're actually focusing on, the scope of it, also the responsibilities that come with it. So obviously, maybe shadow first. And if it's great for you, then start doing a transition where you're going from full-time associate to part-time and adding this onto your existing schedule.
That's a great idea. Yeah, that's something that I love to tell people. I tell them to grab my free guide. I have a guide called The Day in the Life of a House Call Dentist. And it's a scheduling template. If you visit the Residential Movement website, you'll find it, because what you're describing is exactly how I got into house call dentistry too. Little by little, step by step, no major leap, just a small transition, little baby steps. So I think that's a great way. And that guide also shows permanent solutions. If people wanted to do certain aspects of dentistry full-time or part-time, you can do that. So you can work in an office 3 days a week and on the road too, or whatever, you know, forever. So it doesn't necessarily mean that your career has to be 40 hours a week in the same four walls, you know?
Right. How long have you been practicing house call dentistry now?
About 3 years now. Yep. Full-time, about a year and a half.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. How about you? What is your ideal schedule now that you've been out for a little while, your favorite balance?
So I went from the full-time job to bouncing around between different offices and trying to find offices that I enjoy working out or I have like a good leadership team. And currently I've balanced it out at a 4 week work schedule. So I'm between three offices all over Manhattan and actually Brooklyn. And it's been good. It gives me stability and also diversity in terms of like the type of care.
Absolutely. A lot of variety.
Yeah.
That's great. So you mentioned this earlier and we didn't get into it before. But you were talking about insurances and the difficulty and challenges that come with them in FQHC settings, private practice settings as well. What are your biggest feelings about challenges regarding insurance coverage?
Well, insurance really limits the type of dentistry you can do. And insurance isn't looking to give the optimal care to patients. So I remember being at the FQHC and this patient really needed a crown. And unfortunately, it was on a molar and they had so much patchwork done that like I felt like I was continuing to do patchwork and I would submit these pre-authorizations and they would get denied. And so it's like, again, another patchwork. It's going to fracture this, that. And like ultimately, this patient's going around with like, I guess, the like not ideal treatment, right? So I noticed a lot of that was happening when it came to like crowns or root canals, especially when it came to young patients. I would feel really bad because we would have to end up taking out a tooth on a very young person who really needs that tooth to function because they can't afford a replacement. So even if they took the tooth out, they can't afford an implant or they can't afford the bridge that insurance would deny them. And then even the partial that insurance would probably deny them because they had too many teeth to even be a good candidate, right?
Too many points of contact to be what they would say.
Right. Too many points of contact. So more than 8 points of contact. So it's really unfortunate to see. And I just felt like I wasn't doing a good job. And it really started affecting me emotionally because I was like, this is not the type of dentist I want to be. And this is not the kind of care I want to give. And there should be better solutions out there.
Now, I just, for the audience, want to point out, you and I are both working and residing in New York State. You downstate, me upstate. And I know even in other parts of the country, there's coverage that's even trickier, right, in other areas. So as far as access goes and things like that, you're talking about all the challenges, but it's like funny because we still have these challenges in a state where we're so, you know, quote unquote, lucky and, you know, that things are covered, but there's still serious limitations even here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How did you decide which community to practice in?
So I'm originally from New York, and so I didn't think too much about leaving New York City itself. When it came to the FQHC, I was just out of residency and I was doing my residency in Westchester. So it was just an hour north of the city. And the FQHC was located in the Bronx. And I thought, okay, like I had been interviewing in several offices in Manhattan and it was very competitive and the daily rate was really low. And they were like, you're only going to do pro fees to build a patient relationship. And coming out of residency, I felt like I was on a high and I was like really excited to get, you know, my reps in and do all these different procedures and kind of keep growing. And I was like, I don't want to do pro fees all day. Not that there's anything wrong with pro fees. I still do pro fees today. But my point being was like, I wanted some variety. I didn't want to be low on the totem pole. And I wanted to have some kind of like autonomy in the office. So the FQHC was an opportunity to do the variety of procedures, or that's how it was sold to me, I guess, after, you know, going in and seeing like the limitations. But it would be a variety of procedures. But also I wouldn't have to worry about production because in New York City, you have to worry about production or collection. And clearly doing pro fees all day, I wouldn't be able to maintain a good salary to live my day-to-day life. So in terms of salary and benefits, it seemed to be like the most reasonable option for me.
It's funny, when my clients or listeners, audience members talk to me about their career, you have to make lifestyle considerations. And a huge perk of the House Call Dentistry lifestyle is the time flexibility. And the challenge is, it goes back to what you were mentioning before, is insurances. So working in those environments, considering economics and everything else, people really have to make sure they find the career that fits them, you know, and their lifestyle. Yeah, I found the same limitations when I was working in FQHCs to be kind of maddening, right? When you're trying to cooperate with a third party and it just doesn't seem to be, you know, what you want to do for a patient. And it's kind of nice in the House Call Dentistry practice that I have and that I encourage my audience listeners to open to, like, because insurance companies are not familiar with House Call Dentistry. They don't acknowledge it as medically necessary. The coverage just doesn't exist. We're fee for service, whether we like it or not. Even though that was weird, you know, for me to transition from public health into private practice, and just kind of has to be the way it is right now.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting. So, I mean, I have a question for you, and I'm sure we'll get to this at another conversation down the line, but how do you determine your fees?
Yeah, so I encourage people to determine fees in their region based on like the value of the time minimum, right? So my fees, actually, the way I do it, just for simplicity, is that I charge for services. The services are all similar fees to private practices in my area. And then the additional fee is the house call show up fee on top of that. So yeah, my service prices are actually pretty standard. And then you have to decide a fee for your time for showing up there, right? The notes you'll write when you get home, the drive there, the drive back, just pricing it in that way. It's really great. So what kind of other grievances have you heard from your community members, like new dentists? What are they surprised by when they enter the field?
So these dentists that I'm speaking to, like in Manhattan, are one that's surprised by the, I guess, financial instability that we come across when it comes to like making money based off production or having a daily guarantee. So that's been one, especially because it doesn't really keep up with the cost of living in Manhattan. So that's been a big pressure on a lot of people. On top of that, the additional cost of having a license. So you have your licensing fees, then you've got, you know, to maintain CE courses, and CE courses are not a joke. They cost a lot of money, especially if you're going to go out of town and take a course that's like, I don't know, let's say in California or Arizona, and they can be $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. There's even one in Manhattan that's local and it's $10,000. And it's like, oh, it's a big price to pay, especially when you're just out of school and you have all this new responsibility, I guess, let's call it, to manage, right? New home, all these responsibilities are new to you because you're probably living outside of your parents' home now for the first time. So that's been basically the financial instability, the active cost of a license, and also the actual physical and emotional toll dentistry takes on you. So like, because you're working so much to produce, right? And because you're an associate and you're getting all the cases where you're trying to impress your boss and you're hustling between different operatories, that stress of like moving quickly and being fast takes a toll on your body. And then also wears you away when you get home because you're exhausted. You don't have time for yourself. You feel like you don't have time for friends. You don't have time for family. And so I think that that's the combination of misconceptions or worries that people tend to have.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And those are things I know when I was transitioning in my career, you hit the nail on the head. So even if you're in, you know, FQHCs, obviously you have to deal with insurance and red tape like we've discussed before, but there's the practical part of production, running between operatories, people in the waiting room tapping their toes at you, difficult to budget for daily living and things like that because of the lack of a guarantee. And yeah, when you are not self-employed and you do have someone else who's kind of judging you almost, like you think you're doing the best for your patient, but then you have, you know, a practice owner or a boss, hopefully a good one. There's so many good ones. I know in my community, there's so many wonderful mentors here. But yeah, if you catch somebody who's going to, you know, look at you and say, oh, you did this hygiene check. How come you didn't try to, you know, upsell to a crown here? Like the pressure of not being self-employed is actually something that we don't really always talk about when we're students.
Right. And like, especially as a new grad, you are still learning how to treatment plan. And you might not also agree with the treatment plan strategies or principles that your practice owner has. So there can be a lot of, I guess, like headbutting there, you know, a lot of tension there too. So yeah, you are on your toes trying to impress somebody who is paying for your living. And it ends up adding a lot of stress being in the office. So that plus like the actual physical aspect of like being hunched over all day inside someone's mouth who does have dental anxiety or might not be happy that you're taking too long with the molar endo. Like these all are also added pressures.
Yeah, it's funny that you say those two things, because I will say there is a downside I, you know, talk to my listeners about a lot, is the ergonomics. House call dentistry ergonomics are difficult. And I know there's an episode back in there. If you listen to any other residential movement episodes, we do have one on ergonomics, and we have one coming up on it too, because it's just an, you know, ever present when you're in someone's home and you're hunched over their wheelchair or hospital bed, you're definitely not able to tip them back the way you could in a chairside office. So that is one benefit to chairside dentistry, is better ergonomics in the chairside office, but still not perfect. So it's like, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Dentistry is physical no matter where you do it. So when you're in your three offices, you said you're having three different experiences. What do you notice? Like, what varies from chairside environment to chairside environment between your different assignments right now?
So one office, my boss doesn't like me to be standing, right? And he really encourages me to sit down and take my time with the patient, which is really nice and interesting and comforting, because I feel like I can do the procedure with focus and with ease, or a little bit more ease and more confidently. Whereas in the other office, I'm like running between rooms, and sometimes I'm like standing up and I feel a little rushed because I know I have to run to the next room. So that's like one easy comparison that I can make. And then the third office that I actually intentionally added on to my schedule was, I mean, there I'm not really doing bread and butter dentistry. I'm doing more diagnostics and patient education. So I basically see the patient, I see their x-rays, I do the exam, and I tell them like, this is what's going on in your mouth, and this is what you need or may need. And I'm going to refer you to a restorative dentist who's going to take care of that, or a specialist who's going to take care of that. So it's more focused on patient relationship. And that's been like a nice way to not feel the burden or the pressure of doing day-to-day practice.
Very good. Well, it sounds like you found a good way to have some variety in your schedule. And the variety, you know, even though if you think about it, like, okay, three different practices where you're an associate, it actually gives you a lot of freedom. And that's one thing that in dentistry, you can find whether you're a practice owner or an associate, as long as you find the right role and the right schedule, you can really make those things work. So in your community, when people do come to you and they're surprised by their experience as a new dentist or young dentist, how do they connect with one another, or how do they support each other through these challenges?
So right now, I mean, the Teeth Matter podcast has its own Instagram, and people are now starting to connect on that, or like reach out to me individually and ask questions. And we have private conversations that like kind of just reinforces the fact that we're all going through the same thing. And so it's kind of like this opportunity to give somebody reassurance. So that's one way that I've been really like finding it useful for myself, also included, like to find people who are going through the same thing, who are reaching out, who are supportive and positive. And it's been really nice. The online community has really changed the way I think about dentistry now.
That's wonderful. I think that toward the end of this episode, I'm going to ask you if we can share your contact information and Instagram information with our listeners, because a lot of my listeners are younger dentists who are navigating this new time in their career and trying to find the right fit for them. So I think it'd be great if they could follow you on Instagram.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love that.
So if you guys want to reach out to Dr. Ellie Halabian, you can find her on Instagram. The handle is @teethmatter, and you guys should definitely feel free to connect with her there.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, and thanks for sharing, you know, the common struggles that dentists have when they first enter their career.
Absolutely. Pleasure. Thanks so much.
Wasn't she great? I always recommend keeping in touch with like-minded dentists, so reach out to Dr. Halabian at Teeth Matter at her community on Instagram. House call dentistry is a great way to vary your work life and find the balance that a lot of dentists are looking for. This is why people are building their own dental house call practice. Now, if you're a longtime listener of this show, you know that we've had the Residential Movement official membership community for house call dentists as well. This was a group of dentists who met live monthly in the evenings. People in this group have gone on to meet in person and become friends. It's been great. But the membership is being sunset for now because I'm personally finding live evening meetings difficult to sustain. Still, I do care to work directly with docs who are building their house call practices. So if you're interested in meeting with me, visit the Residential Movement website to schedule a one-on-one consult. Finally, big announcement here. Members of our waitlist already know this, but I'm excited to share with you now that the enrollment for Dental House Call Practice Academy is finally open. Dental House Call Practice Academy, or DHCPA, is an online course that will guide you step-by-step through building your dental house call practice. There are modules that cover everything from naming your practice to finding patients to preparing equipment and more. If you're ready to begin your house call practice, Dental House Call Practice Academy is for you. So join this cohort. Visit the website residentialmovement.com/DHCPA to enroll. I'm going to be hanging out on Instagram every day for the next week or so to answer your questions too. I can't wait to see you inside a dental house called Practice Academy. Thanks for listening in today to learn from Dr. Halabian and to hear the residential movement updates. It's nice to know there are so many dentists here watching out for each other and learning from one another. I really appreciate you.
That's a wrap on this episode of The Residential Movement. If you like what you heard today, please leave a 5-star review and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you know someone who could benefit from this information, please share this with them. All of these actions help fuel the residential movement. Visit residentialmovement.com for show notes and for access to any links referenced in this episode. Thanks again for listening, Doc. Keep up the good work.